And good afternoon. It is Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, November the 21st. Who can believe that? 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I am thankful for is the array of guests that we have had this week. From President Trump's advisor, Roger Stone. What an interesting interview that was on Monday. Pat Carroll, legendary actress. Bill Macy yesterday, 1,000 Blue Ribbon winner. Cook Marjorie Johnson. And next hour, we're going to play an interview with the late Roy Clark. We've been meaning to do that, so next hour, we're going to play an interview we did with the late Roy Clark about 10 years ago. What a nice gentleman he was. And also, we are going to play our famous Phyllis Diller Butterball Turkey skit as we do every holiday season. So that's coming up next hour. Of course, Phyllis has been gone for about 5 years now, but she was a dear friend of this show. We always enjoyed Phyllis, and at Thanksgiving, we used to have so much fun. So Phyllis Diller, Roy Clark, Memories of Thanksgiving Past, next hour. Now this hour, we're joined by a gentleman who I have wanted to have on the program for some time, and I'm so glad he's agreed to join us for the hour. Of course, everybody knows that legendary comedian Bill Cosby at this point is in prison. However you may or may not feel about that is kind of the topic today, as we're joined by a friend of Mr. Cosby's, his public relations manager, Andrew Wyatt. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Scott, I would like to thank you and your listeners, and also I would like to wish you and your listeners a happy Thanksgiving Eve, and hopefully they'll be spending time with friends and family members, enjoying wonderful stories and good times.
Absolutely. It's a nice time of year.
Right.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Now, Andrew, when did you first meet Mr. Cosby?
I met Mr. Cosby 8 years ago. We always talk about it, that I was 37, he was 73, I was born at 73, so the numbers don't lie. so we always talk about that, but yeah, it was. I've been representing him for about 8 years now.
Now, at that point in his career, being a very large celebrity, why do you think he went with you?
Well, you know, just had something to offer. He still had his public relations person who had been with him for 40 years, David Brokaw. And what I was working on him with was, you know, his speaking engagements, his college tours, those type of things, and some small and big things along the way, from 50th anniversary of the bombing on the four little girls in Birmingham, Alabama, where he took part in, and the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, where he did some things with. So those were some of the things that I worked on, and then when these allegations started surfacing, I just took over everything.
When you first met him, of course, again, he is a major, major star. What kind of human being was he?
Mr. Cosby has always been gracious, forthright, honest, just an amazing person who never acted like a big iconic figure as he is still today. He just treated you well. He was one of those individuals, and he's still the same person, where he wants to know about you, know about your family. He wants to always give you advice and guidance. And just an amazing, amazing man who I admired when I was a child. I always tell everyone, I said, I learned my ABCs by watching him on Electric Company. And who would have ever thought that I would be representing, you know, the greatest of all time, comedians, Bill Cosby. So it's an honor, it's a pleasure, it's a treasure for me to know him and continue to get to know him and spend time with him despite the circumstances.
When the current circumstances first started to rear their head back in 2014, what was the mood? What was his mood at the time?
Well, he called me and up to his room. A matter of fact, we were in D.C. They had put their art collection on loan with the Smithsonian. And so we were gearing up for that event, and the story started surfacing during that time. And I told him, I said, you can tell that this is a planned scheme. It's a planned political agenda and financial agenda back in this scheme to try to distort him, distort his legacy, and distort what we were doing that week. It was just interesting how they started bringing women out and parading, you know, women, you know, one, two, three at a time, to bring forth these, you know, decade-old allegations with no proof, no evidence, just saying that I say it so. So he called me and we talked about it. I said, well, look, I just don't see how this can go anywhere. Let's just keep moving forward and doing these interviews, talking about this great collection of African-American art that's been juxtaposed with African art, where people have dreamt of seeing his collection for decades on top of decades, but the only way you were able to see the collection if you were invited to any of the homes. So we focused on that, and that's when you saw the AP set him up with a question about those allegations. And that's when everything started.
When it started to get bigger, and I remember that when the AP story happened, the AP interview, I guess I should say.
Yes, sir.
What was going on then? Because then it was becoming front page news. It was becoming the lead story in mainstream media. What was happening at that point?
What was so interesting, you know, one of the mainstream media outlets, CNN, just kept their foot on the gas. No one would accept a statement from us. Our attorneys would try to issue statements, and media would ignore us. I would call media and send them statements from our attorneys. They said, no, we're not going to air your attorney statement. We want to hear from Mr. Cosby. And at that time, he was advised, you know, legally, and not to say anything, what most attorneys would advise a client, you know, who was being attacked in that manner, not to say anything, because he, through his attorneys, he denied those allegations time and time again. We have always said that rape is no joke, but we found out that Philly Magazine, a guy by the name of Bob Huber, we found out that had paid a comedian, Hannibal Buress, to talk about Mr. Cosby being a rapist on a stage in Philadelphia, and they recorded it and flooded it out, and that helped create the firestorm. So this was an effort by a number of corrupt people, not just Gloria Allred, but Bob Huber, the district attorney, Kevin Steele, Judge O'Neill. We feel that, you know, William Morris was behind it. They knew so much about him, Comcast, because he tried to buy NBC. So many people we felt that were behind this and helped fund this corrupt scheme against Mr. Cosby. But we had no way of showing or proving. Even Allred did an interview in the L.A. Times saying, Bill Cosby, if you give me $100 million, we will make all of these go away. No more women would be paraded out. And we denied that offer. And that's when she kept bringing women out, back and forth, bringing them out. And they were not allowed to be asked questions. They just had to read a prepared statement. And even during the trial, the women said that Gloria Allred served as their public relations person, not their lawyer, which was quite interesting, which showed us that there was a political scheme, you know, and backed financially by some group, some individual, some entity to take down Bill Cosby.
You know, it's interesting because a many-time visitor to this program was the late Dick Gregory.
Right.
A legendary comedian. He was on.
A dear friend of ours, a dear friend of mine. And I spent a lot of time with him, and he would call me every morning when these allegations surfaced. And he said, Andrew, you got to. He got on the phone with Mr. Cosby. And he said, the only person that can help you at this point in time is Andrew. He said, Andrew understands civil rights. You know, at the time I was representing the National SCLC, representing them for 10 years. And Mr. Gregory just called every morning. And he said, look, I know these women. I know them. I know who they are. He said, these women were always on after Bill. He said, they have always been after him. He said, you know, yes, he had extramarital affairs, but he said, infidelity is not a crime. And that was Mr. Gregory's message. Every time we would talk, every morning he would call me.
And Mr. Gregory was on with us a lot, and we talked a lot about this because it was in the news at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mr. Gregory saying he felt there was something behind it as well. Does Mr. Cosby or you have a who or why this happened?
Yeah, you know, my theory with Mr. and Mrs. Cosby, and also with the late Mr. Gregory, was always that when Mr. Cosby left William Morris Agency after being there 50-plus years, almost 50 years, and he decided to leave, they knew everything about him. They had receipts. They had receipts of him sending women money for college. Some of these same women who made these allegations, sending them money when they needed help for anything. They had that information. He went to CAA. And when he went to CAA, that same year, they had announced a new television show coming out on NBC. Everything was moving. He had the Netflix special that had come out. But as soon as he left William Morris, that's when we started seeing things happen. Also, we felt because Mrs. Cosby, who's an environmental activist, went after a company, Kinder Morgan. They were running a pipeline from North Carolina to their Massachusetts property. And Mrs. Cosby was instrumental in getting that stopped with Governor Deval Patrick at the time. So, you know, we've always said because of their activism, because of all the people they have helped, and because of Mr. Cosby using his celebrity to try and humanize all races, all religions, all genders, the world didn't like that. A lot of people in the world didn't like that. They wanted him to stop it, and he refused. And this is what happens when you're a true civil rights activist, an icon like Bill and Camille Cosby. You are faced with these type of corrupt people coming after you. You're faced with people planning attempts to distort your character and destroy your legacy. So, and this is not uncommon to them. If you read Mrs. Cosby's op-ed piece that she released maybe 3 weeks ago or a month ago, exclusively to Black Press USA, she talked about her husband, Bill Cosby, was recently victimized by a malicious district attorney and an equally vicious judge. But this is not the first time that her husband has been persecuted by corrupt and self-serving politicians. Because in the late 1960s, he was put on the Nixon's enemies list for not performing at his party. So he's no stranger to this type of conspiracy and corruption and political figures using him to advance their own agenda.
The press, which had always been pretty favorable to Mr. Cosby, started to change. When these allegations came to light in 2014-2015, why do you think that happened?
Well, mainstream media, and as we know in America, they love tearing down someone who's a big name. And I've always felt that it was racially motivated. When you really look at this race war and sex war that Gloria Allred created and this district attorney Kevin Steele in Montgomery County created and the Judge O'Neill, it was to take down this iconic American citizen, to destroy him. I've always felt that race played an important part of it. You know, think about all of the money that Mr. Cosby gave to historically Black colleges and universities, but not just historically Black colleges and universities, integrated schools as well of higher learning. He gave so much money, him and Mrs. Cosby have put more people through college than probably just about the United Negro College Fund. People saw the change that he was trying to create where he always talked about the revolution was in the home, where he always talked about not becoming the victim, where he talked about and he tried to encourage black men and black women and all races to start your own businesses, to become successful, not make excuses. That became a big problem. And I will always feel that you know, race was a big issue in this.
It's interesting.
With the media. Media, look at what has happened to Donald Trump. You know, I heard you had a representative on on your show this week from the Trump administration. He openly admitted to grabbing women. Look at what happened to Kavanaugh. When these allegations, same 30-year-old allegations, look at how the white elitists came to his aid. Senator Graham, Ted Cruz, all of these people came to his aid and said, no, he provided contemporaneous evidence to prove that he was not in this place to do these things that he's been accused of. We provided the same contemporaneous evidence to show Mr. Cosby's flight logs that he wasn't around during those times, to show that he wasn't at the home when Constance said these allegations happened, to show the inconsistencies in her stories, in her allegations. We provided all of the facts. All Mr. Cosby requested for media to do was play the facts, put the truth out there, and they denied us. Mainstream media has blocked our messaging. They would not give us a platform. Now they want the world to move forward and forget about Mr. Cosby since he's been institutionalized. And I always tell people, the district attorney and the judge got what they wanted, but they gave us what we needed to show the world the political scheme that was funded to take down Bill Cosby and make him the poster child for this sex and race war that already created.
So what exactly happened with the trial? Because I think in the beginning we all thought there were allegations, no real way to prove them, and that was kind of where we were. But then this trial comes about, and then the unsealing of this report, that interview that Mr. Cosby had given. How did that all come about?
Well, the report was sealed. His deposition was sealed in 2005 by Judge Rubino. He decided he waived his Fifth Amendment rights. The district attorney at the time, Bruce Castor, said that Andrea Constan gave inconsistent statements to the Durham Police Department in Toronto, to Montgomery County Police Department, and to his office, the district attorney's office, and he didn't have enough charges to enough evidence to bring charges against Mr. Cosby because she made so many inconsistencies in her statements. So he forced Mr. Cosby into a civil deposition where Mr. Cosby was deposed by Dolores Troiani and B.B. Kivitz, who represent Andrea Constan. And he settled out of court for $3.8 million. And the documents were sealed. Well, this Judge Rubino, who's a federal judge, who sealed the documents, he always had an axe to grind against Mr. Cosby. He called him a moralist. So the AP, Associated Press, hired a group of attorneys to fight to get the documents unsealed, saying that Mr. Cosby was a public figure and he was a moralist. So the judge unsealed the documents, which gave the district attorney, Kevin Steele, the current district attorney, gave him the fuel he needed to try to bring charges. And he said in his campaign ad, he did a Willie Horton-style campaign ad, if you elect me, I will bring Bill Cosby to justice. Mm. And that was his campaign promise. And it was all done with the Associated Press. If you go back and look at that deposition testimony that was sealed, and you go back and play back all of the interviews, the press conferences that Allred gave when she paraded women out, she knew what was in that deposition. She knew that Mr. Cosby had talked about a culture. He never admitted to giving women quaaludes in the deposition, and they only played snippets of it in the courtroom. He admitted to a culture at the time that there were Quaaludes in the 60s and 70s, and women and people used them to party with. They were called disco biscuits. Allred was given that information, we will always feel, by B.B. Kivitz and Dolores Trani. She had a script. She had an Ocean's 11-style script that was given to her, along with the district attorney, Kevin Steele. And that script gave her the opportunity to try to extort Mr. Cosby for money. When we did not give the money, that's when they started to say, we're bringing charges. And once Kevin Steele got elected, the charges came about. Now, in the first trial, we got the jury from Allegheny County, and we got a hung jury. They deliberated for 50-plus hours, the longest deliberation in Montgomery County history. They saw the Andrea Constant lied. She made a total of 171 phone calls to Mr. Cosby. He only made 40 phone calls to her. They saw the truth. They saw that Mr. Cosby was not at the home. They saw that the statute of limitations had ran. But this judge, who was part of the corruption, he ran against the district attorney that gave Mr. Cosby the deal, Bruce Castor, in 1998. Bruce Castor beat him because Judge O'Neill was having an affair with Bruce Castor's ADA. Now, that made the papers. We filed that in a petition last month where Bruce Castor gave an affidavit that Judge O'Neill was having this affair. And the judge prevented Bruce Castor from being a witness in this current trial we had in April. This judge also, his wife, a sexual assault professor at University of Penn, her name is Di O'Neill. She was responsible for getting Mr. Cosby's honorary degrees rescinded with some rape organizations that she worked with. The judge helped her do her research on her dissertation on rape, and he refused to recuse himself. The judge allowed juror number 11, a white male, to proceed as a jurist on this trial after he said before the trial started to other jurors, let's find him guilty so we could go home early. The judge had a hearing on it. He asked juror number 11, a white male, did you say those things? He said, I don't recall. The judge still refused to grant a mistrial and recuse himself. And so that's the corruption. It was a political scheme that was funded to take down Mr. Cosby and destroy his legacy. Now, let me add, all of these institutions of higher learning that he helped, from integrated schools to HBCUs, none of them gave the money back, but they rescinded him. Show me where Harvey Weinstein has been rescinded or he has been disgraced in the national media. They have yet to call Harvey Weinstein disgraced Hollywood mogul. This guy is about to walk. And he admitted to doing these things to women. But you have Dr. Cosby behind bars. You show me where that's fairness and impartiality in the judicial system. It shows that the judicial system is black and white. And this is so much bigger than Bill Cosby, as he has always said. This is bigger than me. This is civil rights. And hopefully they will allow the truth to be heard. But mainstream media does not want the truth to be put out here.
When the second trial is held and Mr. Cosby is found guilty, and there's this period from the end of the trial until the sentencing, Mr. Cosby is at home. He's being monitored. What was his mood like at that point?
Upbeat. He felt that vindication was on his side. We talk at least 10 times a day. We just call start at 5 in the morning. And he will always say to me, Andrew, he said, this is civil rights. He said, when I sat with Martin Luther King Jr., when I sat with Malcolm X, when I sat with Nelson Mandela, they told me if I live long enough, I will one day face what they're facing. He said, so I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the iron box. He said, because this is about putting the truth out. He said, no matter what they do to me, you cannot stop fighting. You cannot stop telling the story. You cannot stop putting the facts out. He said, I don't want you to sensationalize anything. I only want you to put the truth out. And you let everybody know, every supporter, everybody that has stood by me, that God has this in control, and I will not take them through the valley of shame. And that has always been his message. I have visited him a total of 7 times now. I was with him on Monday, and we just sat and talked in a room, and he talked about the institution and the residents that reside there. He said, look, we just have to follow the rules. He said, these people are just doing their job. He said, but I tell you this, Kevin Steele, Judge O'Neill, they're not going to be able to hide behind the shield. The truth is going to come out. And mainstream media might want to block us, but we're going to get the messaging out here and let the public and let the world know this scheme that they have, this corrupt scheme that they have put together to take down me and to destroy my legacy and make people forget about me.
As you say, Bill Cosby is currently serving a 3 to 10 year sentence. You have visited him in prison. Mm-hmm. A lot of people wonder, a star of his magnitude, what is prison like for him?
You know, what's interesting, he said to me, he said, despite the circumstances, this is an amazing experience. He said, think about all of the speeches that I've given from the 20th century to the 21st century. He said, and of telling people not to end up like this. He said, I've given all those speeches. He said, but now God has me here for a bigger purpose. And he said, so even though I'm not in general population, he said, but when I come in contact with some of the residents, I always try to tell them to stay encouraged, keep the faith, and just be a model citizen here. No matter what you do, be a model citizen. And don't fall into the conflicts. Don't get into the arguments. Walk away. And that's been his platform. The revolution is in the home. You know, go back into your communities and try to do something positive. You know, he talks about the health issues there, how every morning there's a intercom that goes off asking these residents to line up to get their insulin shots. And these are young men in their 20s, 30s, 40s getting insulin shots, poor diets. And he tries to eat as healthy as he possibly can. He washes his food off. When it comes, he puts it in a cup and he goes to the sink and washes the salt off the food so he can eat it, so he can eat low sodium. He's 81 years old. He's blind, but he's in great health. He's mentally strong. He said, look, I was in the Navy. I grew up in North Philadelphia. He said, I've overcome so many obstacles. This is nothing new for me. This situation I'm in is new because I've never been in a situation where I've been found guilty of something. I've never been in prison, never been in jail, never been in any type of trouble. He said, I've always stayed out the picture and stayed off the corner, so I wouldn't be in the picture so I could be framed. He said, but, you know, I'm being framed now, and that's okay. But keep telling my story and keep focusing on civil rights and keep putting the truth out. So that's why I'm so appreciative of your show reaching out to let your listeners hear the truth and hear the facts of the case that mainstream media. And I agree with Donald Trump on one thing. It's fake news. And that's what drives everything. It's about money now. Driving the story to make money off of the story. And that's what mainstream media has done, and that's what they continue to do with Mr. Cosby.
You know, Andrew, being in the media for quite a while now, the one thing I have always found about radio and television mm-hmm. is that, different from print, is mm-hmm. that when you do an interview with somebody, for better or worse, it's your own words. It's mm-hmm. what you're saying right now. And Mr. Cosby, I don't think anybody would deny, is a smart man. At this point, why doesn't he do an interview in his own words, or ever, since he's been accused of this. I understand the lawyers in the beginning not wanting him to do that. But just saying, I didn't do this. People are out to get me. This is a civil rights issue. What about these other people? I don't think that would be terrible hearing it from him. And I don't know that mainstream media could avoid that.
Well, you know, mainstream media won't only to record his interview, so they can go back and edit. You know, he did an interview, if you remember last year, his daughters, and his daughter who passed away in, earlier this year, INSA, I released a number of statements on audio to the Breakfast Club last year, and I had Mr. Cosby on live with Michael Smirkanish. He did a radio interview last year with Michael Smirkanish, where he addressed a lot of issues. Some things he cannot talk about because there are still defamation suits out here against him. You have a total of 7 in Massachusetts, and you have a total of 3 in California. They should not be sitting there at all. Judy Hutt should not be sitting there, who's represented by Gloria Allred. Lisa Bloom is representing Janice Dickinson. This is a lady who sat on the witness stand and said in her book, yes, I said that Mr. Cosby blew me off, and I went and took 2 Quaaludes and went to sleep, and he didn't sleep with me. But I lied to get a paycheck. It's called poetic licensing. You have Chloe Goins, who claimed he was at the Playboy mansion and licking her toes. We have provided plane records to show that he was having eye surgery. He was nowhere at the Playboy mansion when she claimed that he was there. And these judges refused to throw out this case. We just don't feel that he's going to get a fair shake in the media. Media has shown how they're going to distort his words. They're going to edit his words. They have shown that with me and all of the countless interviews that I have done on their behalf. So they don't trust the media right now. And I don't blame them for not trusting the media. The media has proved, the media was behind getting this case going against him, getting these allegations to surface. It was the media, so why go to the entity that caused these problems for you?
Well, yeah, I think the mainstream media might be a bad place to go, but I don't know that, you know, things like this that we're doing right now, are like Roger Stone, you know, I think he thinks he got a fair shake Monday, and I think that's, you know, unedited, but people are interested in Mr. Cosby's conditions. He is not in general population.
Correct.
But what are the conditions like?
SCI is called SCI Phoenix. It's 40 minutes outside of Philadelphia, maybe 40 minutes an hour. It's a new facility, brand new facility. The people are very nice, very courteous, very professional there. He's not getting any special treatment. He's just in a facility in an area by himself because he is blind. He cannot see. He cannot see you, me, anything. That's why you always saw me guiding him into the courtroom. But he has a trustee who's a resident there that come and take him for walks and those type of things. But it was so interesting. His mail, whenever I visit him, he gives me a bag of mail because no one is allowed to read his mail for security purposes and privacy purposes. But we went through all of the mail, and he had so many people, hundreds of people, have put money on his books. And I just want to thank all those individuals. You know, I can't name them all, but they have sent $25, $50, $100 in to put money on his books for visits or for calls. Right now, outside of his attorneys, I'm the only visitor that he wants to see at this time. He does not want his family coming through that process and being turned into circus animals and people, you know, disrespecting them or anything like that. So, but yeah, he is doing, outside of him being blind, Scott, this is an amazing man. And I'm not saying this because I represent him. I'm saying it from just who he is and how he's still concerned about others than he is concerned about himself. And I was sitting with him Monday. I said, Mr. Cosby, I said, you're still trying to help so many people, but are you okay? And he said, look, I'm fine. He said, my mission is in life is to get out of here because I will be vindicated through the appeal. And he said to get back out here and get out here and speak to these young people, speak to these parents, and tell them that they have to do a better job and the revolution is in the home, and not to get caught in this situation. He said, look, did I have an affair on my wife, multiple affairs? Yes, I did. But affairs don't get you locked up. They don't get you in prison.
When it comes to the sentence, 3 to 10 years at this mm-hmm. point, and being 81 years old, mm-hmm. Is there anything going on with that now? Does he have concerns about that part of it?
Well, look, he has no concerns with that. He prepared himself mentally for it. Once the guilty verdict came down, we were all stunned. But he started preparing himself for it. And he started getting mentally and spiritually prepared for it. And he's there now. And since he's in this place now, he is adjusting. And I think he's done a very good job of adjusting to this new environment, adjusting to this new home. We have filed a petition now. Attorney Brian Perry has filed a petition with the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, asking him for bail relief. He's never been convicted of a crime. He's never served any time in jail in his 81 years. He's been a model American citizen, and he's 81 years old and blind. He deserves to be at home while the appeal process, takes its form. An appeal can last from 6 to 3 years. You just never know. So we feel that he deserves to be at home, but if that doesn't happen and these judges are a part of the same system in Pennsylvania, this corrupt system, we hope that we can run into a fair judge who will look at the evidence and look at how the judge, he settled his own recusal motions and the role that this judge and this district attorney played in destroying the exculpatory evidence that could have, granted a mistrial or averted this trial from ever happening. We think that the state Supreme Court should look at all the evidence, and they should let him out on bail pending an appeal process.
You say you saw him on Monday. When is the last time you spoke with him?
I haven't spoken to him since Monday.
Since Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he allowed to make phone calls from the facility?
Yes, he calls. He calls Mrs. Cosby at least 3 times a day.
All these stories that we have seen in tabloids, mostly, I guess.
Talking about the chicken patty.
Yeah.
They don't even serve chicken patties in prison.
And that
that's Radar Online, which is owned by the National Enquirer. They own the National Enquirer, the Globe, People Magazine, U.S. Weekly, and they print these salacious stories. I just got a request for comment. They're going to announce that Mrs. Cosby is planning on divorcing Mr. Cosby while in prison, but she's keeping it a secret and she's selling off everything. And, all these ridiculous stories. The story on Radar Online, which you saw about the chicken patty, him being hit with a hot dog or something like that, it was done by a young man named Nick, who runs a media company called Young Constituents, YC News, and he took a job with the National Enquirer, and he was very close to us and the family. I had dinner with Nick on Saturday when I was in Philadelphia to just tell him to put an end to this stuff and put in this salacious news and this just ridiculous news out. And he said, well, it's what Radar Online does. It's what the National Enquirer does. They put these salacious stories out, and you know, believe it or not, people read this stuff. But it's none of it's true.
When it comes to this, because I think there is a seriousness, a man in prison, just the visual, I mean, it's a maximum security prison.
Correct.
So this is...
Level five.
So I would imagine a very primitive cell, access, very primitive access to things.
Yeah, you're correct. When you pull up, you see the barbed wire fences, in a sense. It's like two or three of them, you know, around the building. It's a real maximum security prison for a lot of bad people who have done some heinous things, you know, in the world. So it's that place. But I can definitely say all of the residents that I, after I get ready, I get through meeting with Mr. Cosby, they all come up and they shake my they give me a hug and say, Andrew, he don't belong here. Get him out of here. They respect him. And these are people who are paying their debt. And they're trying to be model citizens. So, but you know, everybody that I've spoken to, every resident there at that institution, from the officers to the people housed there, have been genuine and very nice and respectful. And when Mr. Cosby walks out before we go into a room to sit down and spend time together, he always gets a standing ovation from the residents and their family members.
You know, it's interesting, Andrew, because there certainly has been no bigger star in the history of television than Bill Cosby.
Correct.
And being in a maximum security prison, as you just described it, with some people who have committed some serious crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he has no fear, but do you, when he is put in general population?
I don't have any fear. I don't have any fear for him. I think Mr. Cosby has done so many great things that I feel that God has favor over him. I truly believe that. I'm a very spiritual person, and I just really feel that, you know, God has a way of preparing us for something bigger in life. And I see that something bigger in life. I see a man who's already an iconic figure becoming a bigger iconic figure because of this. I see a man who will right the wrong, not for himself, but for others who are faced with this type of corruption. I see a man that, you know, is showing people to walk upright, not be fearful of what comes at you in life, but to deal with it head on. But I always say that to people. I said, look, God has a way of preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies and making our enemies our footstool. And Mr. Cosby is getting that right now, where he's preparing him and preparing a table for him in the presence of his enemies and making his enemies his footstool. And he will be vindicated up on appeal. And I just know that if put in general population, he will be protected. He will be. I don't see them necessarily doing that with a man who's blind, because he can't see. You can't put. I think that would be that. That's like, you know, assassination. If you put a blind man in general population who can't see who's coming for him and who's coming around him, I don't see an institution doing that to anyone. I would hope that they wouldn't do that.
You know, Andrew, before we part ways, and I certainly do appreciate the time here, but some people listening to this will say you work for him, that there were so many of these charges, over 50, I think, that they all kind of claim the same things, the drugging, the raping, more than extramarital affairs. What do you say to those people who have that feeling about Mr. Cosby at this point?
Well, first of all, I would say that Mr. Cosby, the trial only consisted of one person, Andrea Constant. It wasn't 60 women who made these allegations. You know, people always want to talk about the sheer volume of women. You know, what America has said, what this judicial system has said, is that women don't lie, that women always tell the truth, that no matter what, even if the evidence is not there, you have to always believe them. I'm not saying that things have not happened to many women in this country, but if you're going to talk about that, then you have to go back into slavery, and you have to go and remove the name of presidents who raped slaves and raped women throughout history. You know, you have to go back through history and look at every woman that has been abused in some form or format. I think people need to look at the case. Look at, it was Andrea Constant versus Bill Cosby, not 60 or 70 women versus Bill Cosby, not 60 allegations. Gloria Allred had a script, and she followed that script, and she used that script with no evidence, no proof, and to embed it in people's minds. This black man, think about it now. These allegations happened 30, 40 years ago, and this is what I want your listeners to focus on. In the 60s and 70s, do you think a black man who was on Nixon's list and being watched by the FBI could have raped all of these white women, and the KKK didn't come and pick him up? I don't think so. Look at the facts of the case, and look at it. It had nothing to do with 60 women. It had everything to do with Andrea Constant, who was paid $3.8 million. And Mr. Cosby waived his Fifth Amendment rights, and no charges would ever be brought against him. Look at how all of these white men who have been accused, show me one where the district attorney in every state where these men have been accused, big name celebrities, Matt Lauer, all of these people, Charlie Rose, Les Moonves, the list go on and on, Donald Trump, Kavanaugh. Show me where these people are facing any jail time or any charges. It shows that this was a 21st century To Kill a Mockingbird scheme to go after this black man who was doing so many great things. But this is not the end of the story. And I want to just say to your listeners, please, the information is out here. Go out here and read the information. The facts are out here. And Scott, I hope you will put some of those things that we have sent out to the media on your website, Mrs. Cosby's op-eds, you know, her statements, you know, all of those things, our filings. Go on Montgomery County website. They have a site that was dedicated to Mr. Cosby, and look at all the hearings that we had and the evidence, and you will see that this was a planned political scheme to take down Bill Cosby.
Well, I think we all can agree on one thing, hopefully, in this world, and that is we want people who had bad things happen to them to get their day in court, but we also, if things are not true, we don't want to send innocent people to prison.
Correct.
We hope that in the end, the truth, whatever it may be at this point, will come out. And I do hope at some point that Mr. Cosby is able and willing to come on the program, because I think he certainly would get a fair shake in his own words.
Look, I would definitely consider that. You have been a gracious host, and I've heard about your show, and I've caught you online a number of times, listened to your show. So I love the format of your show. I love the fact that you do give people a platform to get their truth out. And we would consider, I don't say no to anything. I will always discuss it with him and Mrs. Cosby, and we will go from there. I just really appreciate, you know, this is one of the best Thanksgiving gifts that you could have given to the Cosby family, in letting me speak about the truth and the facts of the case, and you allowed it. And that's what Mr. Cosby said. He said, hopefully they will let the truth get out, and hopefully it's allowed to get out. And you allowed it, so I appreciate you that for doing that for me, for the Cosby family, and for his attorneys. And on behalf of Mr. Cosby, we thank you.
Well, Andrew, you are always welcome. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir, and your listeners. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
All right. Andrew Wyatt, Bill Cosby's friend and PR man. We're back in 10 minutes.
listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.071.com. Also, check us out by...